broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for New Year's Day, January 1st, in the year of our Lord, 2024. This is our one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. And yes, indeed, we reject revolution. Unless it's the Jesus revolution, then we're in. Actually, we stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. And people say, Sam, why would you do a New Year's morning show in the first place? My heavens, everybody's super tired. They stayed up super late last night, and everybody's just trying to recoup, and no one's listening. Almost got me. I believe a lot of people listen, some live, but many people listen to the archives as well later in the day or whatever. And so it makes sense to spread the word of love and telling the truth day in and day out. These remember holidays are a time when a lot of people are alone. Sadly so, but a lot of people are lonely. A lot of people need companionship and friendship and kindness. A lot of people need direction in their lives. A lot of people just need friendship and support. And you know what? We provide it all on your radio. Who we are behind the scenes are the same people that we are in the public eye. We're far from perfect, but we stand for God, family, and country, and people need that in their lives, even on New Year's morning, New Year's Day, whatever you want to call it. So welcome to the broadcast, all of you. And, of course, Dr. Scott Bradley is with me on the show today, freedomsrisingsun.com. He's known for his incredible collegiate series to preserve the nation, not to mention his weekly webinars. Hopefully those are getting back ready to rock and roll. Dr. Bradley, welcome back, sir, and Happy New Year to you and your family.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much, and it's good to be on with you. You know, you're really right. People need, it's kind of like, this is a really stupid analogy, tie-in, whatever you want to call it, but you remember that old TV show called Cheers where they had the song where everybody knows your name, you know? It's interesting to have a familiar voice maybe at any time, and like you point out, some people during the holidays, I mean, things aren't exactly hunky-dory, perhaps, in their life. They, you know, there's maybe loneliness, as you point out. Family members estranged. There could be sickness. There could be, you know, economic problems. Any number of problems. And, of course, we don't duck and dive from challenges on this program. But it's nice to know that there are people out there that maybe give a kind of a steady state kind of solution to things. It's interesting, there was an extremely liberal, I hate the terms liberal and conservative, they've all been co-opted and they're used improperly now, but in using the vernacular that most people use it today, I'll use that term. There was an extremely liberal radio program that used to have me on radio, a talk radio program. And, you know, we had counterpoints with each other. The host was extremely, did I say extremely, focused on a socialist perspective on everything that he came up with. And, of course, anybody that's listened to us before may get some idea that I have some opinions about things. And anyway, one day he said to me, Bradley, he says, I love having you on the program. You're so predictable. And I says, well, thank you. I'll take that as a compliment. Because we are stable on our principles. And you can predict outcomes if you apply principles. You don't have to be adrift with every single stinking wisdom of man thing that comes along. You know, this thing we worship rather than this steady state God, if you will, that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if you're adrift with all of these made-up sexual status things and the death jab and the going along with all of the media hype. It's more than hype. It's a script they give you. All of this kind of stuff. I'd like to be predictable. And maybe your program's a little predictable to some people. And maybe it gives them, hopefully it gives them something to kind of get their teeth into, if you want, while they're going through their life. And maybe New Year's Day is maybe one of the better days to do it. I don't know.
Well, and I think one point to make is we're supposed to try to be like God. I'm not telling you we're gods. I'm saying we're supposed to try to become like God. God is very predictable, in my opinion. He gives us guidance. When we obey his commandments, we're blessed. When we don't, we lose those blessings. He's been very clear about the teachings that he gives. The Ten Commandments are really key. And whether you're a member of some evangelical church or another Christian sect or Catholic or Mormon or Jewish or any of these other religions, almost all the unifying factors of religion really across the world really is the basis of the Ten Commandments. I mean, almost everyone agrees that the Ten Commandments is key. Now, I understand that some think it's just a nice creed. Others think it's scripture or commandments from God. Other people don't believe it's. But it is really tied to a fundamental civilized society. And when you violate these 10 guidelines, rules, I'm going to call them commandments because I'm not afraid of that, then things go pretty well. And when you violate those 10 guidelines or 10 commandments, then things go very poorly. The two great commandments are reminders as well, to love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself, are kind of key for this. But I bring this all up because God's attacked relentlessly, as you know, but the family has been under tremendous attack too. When I say the family, I'm talking about the God-ordained fundamental unit of society, a male and a female married together with fidelity to one another, welcoming children to their relationship based on whatever circumstances they find themselves in, leading and following together in a way that makes sense from a male-female traditional God-ordained role. Now, hey, I realize that sometimes those roles require some adaptation due to circumstances. Husbands should be provider and protector and these kind of things. But, hey, sometimes things aren't as we want them to be. Nevertheless, I bring this all up because I believe the Ten Commandments are one of the greatest solutions to the problems we face in America today. Obedience to them can bring blessings and stability and safety and prosperity, and a violation of them can bring nothing but disaster. Again, people would say, well, that's just too predictable. Sam, you say that all the time. Yeah, but there's some other people chiming into this discussion that I think their comments are worthy of listening. And what they've really done in America today is they've tried to create this new idea that says, you know what? You don't need to listen to your parents. Just jettison mom and dad. Dealing with mom and dad who are all old school and they don't get it and they don't understand is very problematic. Just dump mom and dad, say the psychologist. Just bag them. Or dump the siblings that don't agree with you. You know what? You need to draw boundaries. And so now we've kind of come from a culture of I get that there needs to be boundaries if there's abuse and certain things. But I'm talking about even a difference of opinion on who to vote for president oftentimes results in complete disillusionment of family ties that are so desperately necessary for stability and safety and protection. They're dissolving all that. As they try to destroy America, they really point at and destroy the family. Here is Dennis Prager, one of his five-minute videos on this topic. Then we'll come back and talk about it with Dr. Bradley. Dennis Prager.
There is a pandemic in the Western world, especially, but not only in America, that few are talking about, let alone addressing. This pandemic doesn't actually kill people, but it does ruin lives, crush families, and cause debilitating pain, far more than most cases of COVID-19. What pandemic am I talking about? The pandemic of people who do not speak to one or both of their parents. Why have these people decided to hurt their parents in one of the worst ways possible? To the extent of not even allowing their parents contact with their grandchildren? There are three primary reasons. The first is the rise of the therapeutic mentality. Prior to the explosion of psychotherapy, people were governed by shoulds. But beginning in the 1960s, the therapeutic model replaced the moral model as the guide to one's behavior. A popular phrase at the time was, "There are no shoulds." I'll use a family story to illustrate this point. Despite the fact that his mother was a very difficult woman, my father called her every night. And every night, she would yell at him. As a child, I heard this because instead of holding the phone to his ear, my father would periodically place the phone on the kitchen table. Had my father been born a generation later and told a therapist how much he dreaded calling his mother, The therapist would likely have led my father to believe there was no reason he should talk to her. The therapist would have declared my grandmother toxic and given my father permission to avoid calling her. A culture that declared there are no shoulds would have concurred. But my father lived in the age of shoulds. Moreover, he was a religious Jew who had been taught the Ten Commandments since childhood, the fifth of which is, honor your father and your mother. And he believed, as did most Americans, that the Ten Commandments were given by God. In our secular age, the Ten Commandments are largely ignored. In fact, there are no God-given commandments. Instead, you do what you feel is right. If you don't feel like talking to your mother or father, you don't. My father, governed by the Ten Commandments and many other shoulds, called his mother every night despite the fact that he rarely felt like doing so. A second reason for this pandemic is parental alienation. This is usually caused by one parent against the other during or after a divorce, frequently, though certainly not always, by the mother against the father. She is so angry at her ex-husband that she has decided to hurt him in one of the worst possible ways, by convincing one or more of their children that their father is a terrible human being, unworthy of their love, respect, or even time. The children should have nothing to do with him. A third reason for this pandemic is ideological. This is the newest excuse for cutting ties with parents. I suspect few people in previous generations encountered parents whose children didn't speak to them because of how the parent voted. Many Americans hated Richard Nixon, but it's hard to imagine grown men and women in the late 1960s or early 1970s who refused to speak to their parents because the parents voted for Nixon. But many parents who voted for Donald Trump have a child who does not speak to them. For the record, I am not speaking about myself. My two sons and two stepsons and I speak frequently, love one another, and share values. But I know how lucky I am. I have met a lot of good people who have at least one child who no longer speaks to them. Yes, there are times when a parent is so abusive, pathological, or evil that communication becomes essentially impossible. And it is important to note, you do not have to love your parents. Just talk to them. Even the Bible, which commands people to love their neighbor, to love the stranger, and to love God, never commands us to love our parents. But at the very least, we owe them this, not to inflict terrible pain on them. Indeed, the infliction of such pain on a parent is about as great an act of cruelty as most people will ever inflict on another human being. If there is a God who gave the Ten Commandments, these people will be judged accordingly. I'm Dennis Prager.
All right, there you have it. PragerU.com is the website for Dennis and what he has to say. I don't agree exactly when he says you don't have to love your parents. I think you need to love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself. And I think your neighbor are, you know, everyone around you. Your neighbor means everyone. The Good Samaritan kind of highlighted that reality check. So I slightly disagree with Dennis on that. And I don't agree with Dennis on everything. But I do agree with this pandemic he's bringing up, that this alienation of children to parents is a serious problem, leaves people lonely, and you know what? Harms relationships. You know, it won't be long till grandpa's gone or grandma's gone or whatever. And if you're not very careful, you don't have a relationship with your parents, and you won't have a relationship with your grandparents or whatever. And we need to be very, very careful that we don't let family ties get destroyed on this new age altar of psychology, Dr. Bradley. It is man's way. It is not God's way, and it is disastrous for society. And I think it's just starting, meaning it's already bad enough, but it's getting worse. And we really got to nip this in the bud. The fundamental family is one of the greatest keys to stability and success in our society. Society will never be stronger than the families that it makes or that makes up that society. Anyway, your thoughts on this one?
It's interesting to me that the fundamental unit that God ordained is under complete attack, and it's been a diabolical attack right from the very beginning. I mean, there's been all sorts of things that the evil one has attempted to, enforce across this different societies. Different societies, to greater or lesser degrees, have been destabilized by destroying the family, whether it's sexual perversion or you know, any of these other kinds of things, power, lust, licentiousness, whatever. But you know, it's interesting that back in the 1840s, they The League of Just Men is what they had called themselves for a long time, but they had changed their name to the Communists. They set forth a document, a manifesto, if you will, this Communist Manifesto, and it talks about how society is going to be destabilized and destroyed. And there's a whole outline there on how to do that. People ought to read it. I'm not promoting it. I'm just saying that you need to know who your enemies are and their strategies and tactics. But anyway, they specifically in there attack the family. In fact, you know, they talk about getting rid of private property, abolition of private property, all that kind of stuff. Very succinctly, they state their purposes, intentions, and their processes. And so one of the sentences in it is abolition of the family. Okay, I mean, they admit it right up front. And then, let's see, we destroy the most hallowed of relations when we replace home with education by society. So they're going to put it into an educational setting that takes away from the family's central theme of the thing. And then another little sentence that talks about a community of women. Okay, but you communists, this is their sentence, would introduce community of women, screams the bourgeois. Okay, so community of women, what the heck is that? It's common women. It is common women. It's women that have no ties to a family. It's a, you know, there's a lot of names they've gone by over time, but, and in fact, the Sokolov anarchists in 1917 during the Bolshevik Revolution actually said no man can own a woman. Now, if you think you own your wife, you're crazy. But they were going to say every woman was a common woman that any man could make use of, euphemistically terms, and they actually set that out as the societal norm. And, of course, society unraveled. But that's the way the communists have been doing it. They've been insidiously, for more than a century and a half, 175 years, let's say, in this modern manifesto that they put forth, and they've been implementing it. I mean, and even before that time, you know, the French Revolution, they declared marriage to be slavery, and they tried everything they could to destabilize society by destroying the family. Little boys could only stay with their parents until they were 5 years old. This has been central to destroying everything in society, and they've got the Humanist Manifesto now that is used as the, if you will, the education template that the United States uses throughout their public education system that's based upon a godless religion. It's called secular humanism, and it's in violation of the First Amendment, because what it does is it's a designated religious belief system supported by tax dollars. And so all of these kinds of things are coming together, and Prager, you know, touches upon some of those things about it destabilizing, destroying society. He specifically focuses on the parental situation. Look what happened during the pandemic, you know, situation that they put together for a few years, and it's going forward. But you couldn't even go see your mom and dad if they were in a rest home. Now, you have to say, okay, sometimes people do have to have greater care. But very, very often, they're kind of, I don't know, what would we say, holding tanks, where they basically are awaiting death. Previous societies embraced their, shall we say, their heritage. You know,
they embraced their heritage. They had respect for and embraced the elderly. That's kind of one thing that a lot of other cultures really have right. Whereas we don't in America. We seem to kind of oftentimes put them in foster homes or put them in old people homes or independent living or, these kind of different places in an effort to not be responsible for them. And I think that's one of the problems we have in America today is how we treat our elderly, how we treat the young. We murder the babies. We put the elderly out to pasture, think they have no value to contribute to society. Oftentimes we don't take responsibility. Now, I get sometimes that when someone's older, their care becomes above the average person's ability to care for them for medical reasons and equipment reasons. And I mean, there's reasons for it. But we need to make sure that we really spend the time with our families. And it's by no accident that you were put in the family that you were put in, by the way. I believe God has a purpose to it. And even if you have a family environment that's not very helpful, that is toxic, you know, maybe you're there to bridge that. Maybe you're there to detoxify that. Maybe you're there to bring common sense and a humble heart to that in a way that could change the game and bless people's lives. Anyway, I think it's really important that we focus on these and other issues. They have another video that I find fascinating, which we'll get to after the break, Dr. Bradley. But I really think this is an issue that we can't ignore. There's so many studies now coming out about how alone people are. You've got divorcees, you've got all kinds of people that never marry, you've got through all these ages, people are alone, and we can't just let people be alone. The human is not designed to be alone, doctor.
You know, you're right. We're a social creature, if you want to think of it in those terms. But I find this is all across society. You know, it's parents and children, it's brothers and sisters, it's political stuff and everything like that. But, you know, I think back to the American founding era, and there were very divergent opinions among those great minds that established this nation. And, you know, you talk about, you know, becoming estranged or blowing up a bridge or whatever terminology you want to use when somebody does not have the exact same opinion you do. And it's a very interesting phenomenon of this thing has to be centric to you. I mean, I'm not saying you, Sam, but that society is basically saying that if somebody doesn't agree with you, blow up the relationship. You don't need it anymore. We're just going away. But the founding fathers, I think one of their great strengths was their ability to talk through different ideas. I mean, they were putting together a new nation, and nobody had put a nation together like this exactly in history. There was other, you know, maybe patterns and so on that they could look to, and they did. They looked to great philosophers and everything like that. And I mean, you know, like, for example, Montesquieu, you talk about virtue and things. Virtue was required for a society as a republic, and the particularly among the women, because they had such an influence on their children. All of these kinds of things went into their formula, but they discussed this stuff, you know, in their taverns, their churches, their living rooms, around the fireplace, whatever. And you know, maybe Gouverneur Morris had a little different opinion than George Mason or whatever, but you know, they could discuss it. They held these things passionately, they held these things, you know, sacredly even, and yet they listened to each other. And we've kind of forgotten to do that. The acrimony in this nation, I don't know as it's ever been as bad as it is. And I think I'm even thinking about during the 1860s. I mean, there were people that I mean, you know, think about this. Robert E. Lee, after the war, he was one of the most respected men in the nation, even though half the nation had been at arms against him. I mean, there were things that somehow kept society's strings pulled together. And nowadays, again, the Marxist philosophy is conflict-based. It's division. It's divide, fracture, and ultimately replace with their diabolical philosophy. All of these things are at play all the time, and the family certainly is fundamental to this, and somehow, some way, it would be nice if we could talk to each other as a family, if that seems to be a problem right now, and stop being so blasted single-minded in your arrogance. You know, there seems to be a pandemic right now, too, of narcissism, where we think we're the center of the universe. I mean, you know, individuals think that the whole world, the whole universe revolves around them, and it doesn't. Get over yourself and listen to other ideas.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there's a new survey out. 3 in 5 Americans feel lonely. We need to bring back the traditional family, ladies and gentlemen, that's for sure. Late breaking news as well. Powerful earthquake hits Japan, triggering tsunami warnings. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Dave Collins. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is committed to reclaiming the border between Gaza Strip and Egypt, stating that the conflict with Hamas is at its peak and could extend for months. Netanyahu emphasized the necessity of the border being under Israeli hands. This declaration follows the Israeli military's assertion that their operations have successfully demolished a network of tunnels in Gaza and a hideout belonging to Hamas leaders. At least 20 people in a Russian border town are dead in the wake of a reported Ukrainian bombing.
It marked the heaviest blow struck by Ukraine inside Russian territory since war began between the two countries in February 2022. Russia's defense ministry says two missiles and several rockets fell on the city and that the targets were indiscriminate. The strike appeared to be in retaliation for a Russian bombing attack a day earlier that rained missiles and drones on several parts of Ukraine. I'm Ryan Daniels.
Maine Secretary of State Shayna Bellows faced a swatting incident following her decision to exclude Donald Trump from the state's 2024 primary ballot. The episode occurred Friday night when a caller falsely reported breaking into Bellows' residence. Responding officers found no intrusion, and Bellows, who was not at home during the incident, condemned the unacceptable behavior, emphasizing the importance of civil discourse and disagreement without resorting to threats and violence. Flu cases are surging across the United States.
There was a 16% increase in positive flu test results reported last week, according to the CDC's weekly influenza report. Over a dozen states, including Alabama, Georgia, and New York, have reported very high levels of respiratory illness, and nearly 20 other states have levels classified as high, with 6 pediatric deaths, bringing the total to 20 for the current flu season.
That's Skip Kelly reporting. This is USA News.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure ground burgers are made from single cuts of real aged Omaha steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive burger perfection flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order, plus free shipping. You'll get 4 of each pure ground burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the burger perfection flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Dr. Scott Bradley, talking about the fundamental unit of society, the family, and how precious it is, and how the communists are trying to destroy the godless. Communists are trying to destroy the family, and we need to stand up like nobody's business in the culture wars. I'll tell you that right now. Parents don't deserve this. Dennis Prager highlights this idea that, you know what, psychology now kind of says, hey, there's no real shoulds anymore. And, you know, let's equate the shoulds to beyond that and call them Ten Commandments. You can just ignore your parents if they bug you. That's not really the way things work in real society. That's the way modern manipulations. But I'm telling you right now, generations of youth are going to regret it when their parents are gone. And grandparents and grandchildren don't know each other, or parents and children don't know each other, and this kind of stuff. It's going to wreak havoc. And the headline relates to this. 3 out of 5 Americans are lonely. NPR, National Public Radio, with that. And they say they're shocked over it. Now, I don't know why they're shocked over it, doctor. Everything they do really creates it. You murder all the little babies, so there's not new babies coming. You take all the old people and put them out to pasture and put them in some kind of a living center, even when it's not necessary. You go ahead and jettison your parents midlife because they you don't like what they have to say. You have divorce at an all-time high. You have, and everybody's alienated and lonely. You add to that the COVID reality of in my opinion, dishonesty and manipulation to where, you know, people social distance and people got kind of trained to just reject everything and just turn everything off and whatever and all these things. It surprises me that NPR is shocked by this. Everything they're doing foments this, Dr. Bradley.
Yeah, it's kind of like, wow, where did this come from? I mean, you know, it's just absurd, absolutely absurd to me. You know, as we've been talking about this, I'm reminded in my mind, and again, you know how my mind kind of reels back into the yesteryear. And maybe a lot of your listeners are probably maybe even too young to even remember this and some of the things we talk about. But there was a movie that came out, I believe, in 1981. It was called Windwalker. I think you could probably find it on YouTube or something like that. It's a Western film. It was a very small potatoes kind of film in a lot of things. It's about a Native American setting before the white man came west. It was in the late 1700s, 1797, I think, was the year it happens. But at any rate, it's a drama. It's really interesting. When I first showed it to my kids back in 1981, it was kind of traumatic. It's not violent or anything. I mean, well, it's kind of, there's an inferred that, but it's little children could get through it if you kind of hold their hand. But at any rate, it's about that Native American society and this aged warrior and his place in his family that he still lives with as he ages and comes to the end of his life. He had lost his young wife many years before in a Crow raid of their rival Indian tribes. It's all in Cheyenne. It's subtitled. There's no English language in it at all. And so it's an educational experience as well as kind of a reminder of what families and societies are and how they work together. I don't want to ruin the whole story for you, but the old man lives with his family. He's in waning years, and the time comes, he passes. But for some reason, he doesn't pass. He's on the burial ground and everything like that, and he has to go back and help his family through one last dramatic problem that has a real good wrap-up, okay? How's that for being, what were the film critics?
Vague.
Anyway, vague, yeah. Anyway.
So let me ask you, what is this called again? Give the name again.
It's called Windwalker, W-I-N-D-W-A-L-K-E-R. Uh-huh. It's a film. It's I think 1981 it came out. And it's very, in my opinion, thought-provoking. Now, I see movies sometimes that have a message, and other people say, man, what are they doing there? So maybe you'll find it a little bit different. But I believe it is family renewal time with this. If you sat with your 5-6-year-olds together, you grandma and grandpa, and watched this film and talked about it when you got done.
By the way, it's a 1981 film, just so that everybody knows.
Okay.
Windwalker, 1981.
And I think you can probably find it. on different, you know, settings. I'm not exactly what you'd call a social media guru, but the fact of the matter is, it's thought-provoking, I think, and it does talk about the extended family, and the little children play a role with the old grandpa warrior. I mean, they'll feed him his porridge, you know. I mean, but he has life's experience that he brings. And I, you know, a lot of people, I have studied the Native American way of life all my life, since I was in third grade. I mean, we don't need to get off on that tangent. But my understanding of many decades of study is that these elderly, if you will, had their role. If you were a great warrior that no longer had even good eyesight, maybe they had you making arrows. You were straightening sticks to make arrows. And you could tell the young boys while they were sitting there helping you tie the feathers on or maybe the point. I mean, great stories about, you know, what life was about. I mean, these more elderly didn't get kind of offloaded from society, and the kids gravitated to them, and they were storytellers. They were people that kind of tied the society together. They were in a largely verbal society without, they had pictorial images that they used to convey great hunts they'd been on or battlefields or whatever, you know, harsh winters or great harvests of game, whatever. But it was conveyed verbally, and there was a place for the elderly and the young, and there was a bridge that was in there. And it was, to me, it's a comforting and pleasant kind of feeling where everybody has value, and there's not this discounting. There's a lot of people today that think the elderly, you know, if you're over 50 years old, forget it. I mean, you ought to all just die. I mean, you're just a burden on society. You're useless eaters, whatever, you know.
That's the way they say it, and it's far from the truth. And I remember as a little kid going in and loving to see Grandma. And I didn't talk to Grandma a ton because she was old and I was young, you know. But I would know whenever I'd go into Grandma. Oftentimes I'd, you know, bring a problem to her, or I'd bring in, you know, whatever's going on in my life. And she wouldn't say a ton. She'd just listen and all that. But once in a while, she'd say something, and it was really valuable and helpful to me. And, you know, I remember I wanted a soccer ball, and I was saving my money, and I was doing chores around the house as a little kid to get this soccer ball. And I remember when I was almost there, I almost had all the money, and my grandma basically said, I'll give you the rest of the money because you've worked so hard for it that, you know what, you're so close, I'll just help you get there. And I'll never forget it. And it taught me the blend of hard work, sacrifice, and then service, where she served me and said, you know what, I'll help you with this because I see that this isn't something that you just sit around and beg for or complain about or a brat about. This is something that you're willing to work hard for, and I want to reward that good work. And I remember that from my grandma. I remember going into Grandma. Why don't we go ahead and skip the break? I remember Grandma would interact with me, and I'd walk in after school and be all tired, and she'd say, Sam, if you go pick me lemons, I'll make you a lemon meringue pie. And, man, I'd run outside and go get her lemons and bring them back, and she'd make this lemon meringue pie that was the best in the world. And it was hot lemon meringue pie right out of the oven, and I'd get a piece of that, dude, and I was just in heaven. These are the kind of things that, in my opinion, make the difference. Oftentimes they're short interactions. Oftentimes they're simple interactions. I remember going into my grandma and complaining about my dad and saying, you know what, he's just too hardcore, Mom. Or, Grandma, he's just, you know. And my grandma would say, you know what, he has his faults just like the rest of us. And I remember thinking, you know, when you grow up, you almost think your parents are perfect. And then you get a little older and you go, oh, man, they don't know anything. Well, the truth is in between. They're not perfect, but they don't know everything either. And I think it's really important that we kind of double down on the understanding that's really important. So have you seen Wind Walker, 1981 Western film? By the way, Wind Walker was an adaptation from a novel that was called Wind Walker 2, just so everybody knows there's a book. And the reason I bring it up is oftentimes the books are even better than the movies if you take the time to read these days. And it's really important to focus on being able to read and all that kind of stuff. But on this Dennis Prager theme, and on the theme of the family, there is a woman who speaks out on Dennis Prager's website, PragerU.com. And one of the things that's interesting to me about this is they're really doubling down in defense of the family. And her headline says, wife, mother, and extremist. Her nickname is Peach, or her name, I think, is Peachy Keenan, I think is how you say it. PragerU. Anyway, she talks about being an extremist, and we all ought to become one in 2024. Here she is.
Remember normal? When did being normal get canceled? Normal, by the way, is my gender identity. Misgender me at your peril. What makes me normal? Well, I'm in a monogamous marriage, and I intend to stick with it until death do us part. I'm a proud husbosexual. That means I'm only attracted to men who identify as my husband. We have 5 children. Each of them remains the sex they were born. The only flag we fly has 50 stars and 13 stripes. We are trying our best to instill Judeo-Christian American values in our kids. You know, stuff like every human being is created in the image of God, personal responsibility, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We hope they marry young and produce a lot of grandchildren for us to dandle on our knees one day. Trigger warning, I also stayed home to raise my babies. Compared to most women my age, all this makes me a radical, an extremist, or as I call myself, a domestic extremist. The funny thing is, I am not classically domestic. I bake with Duncan Hines, and I loathe doing laundry. I have never crocheted anything, darned a sock, or touched a loom. I have never practiced animal husbandry. It's too late for me to learn how to milk goats. You're welcome, goats. In fact, I spent my entire life in big cities, where tending the plants is something the gardener does. For better or worse, I was raised as a fairly spoiled, totally secular, suburban American princess. In short, I was once just like most of you, unhappy, trying to convince myself I wasn't. Then fate intervened, and I met a great guy, just in time. And I realized something my grandmother took for granted. A woman's most meaningful calling in life is to be a wife and mother. This is coming to you from someone who had a 6-figure job at a major entertainment company and gave it up so I could stay home with my baby. Becoming extremely domestic saved me. And domestic extremism can also save you and your family and the country and indeed our entire civilization from our collective nosedive. Wait a second. Am I saying women shouldn't pursue careers? No. When it comes to a career, I'm pro-choice. I'm simply saying that being a wife and mother is job one. Because America is in free fall, and everyone knows it. Just look around. The consequences are all around us. Young people are unable to form meaningful relationships, raise children, and otherwise perpetuate the species. Loneliness, depression, drug abuse, and generalized despair have taken hold. The hour grows late. We are facing an extinction-level event, as in, there soon won't be enough of us. How did we get here? There are many reasons, of course, but I'm going to point my finger at one. It's not open borders, cancel culture, or unbridled wokeness, though they certainly haven't helped. Instead, it is feminism and all its empty promises that has nearly erased the point and purpose of being female. And when you do that, things tend to go sideways. The endless cries for more girl power and female empowerment have led directly to the creation of today's dystopia. Even worse, these fanatics had a 50-year head start. We must therefore take the culture fight to them if we hope to reclaim our country, our children, and our true power as American women. We need to woman up. We need to lean in to the very essence of our being, to commit to a lifestyle that is not always the easiest choice, a lifestyle that may bring you little social media glory and will make you a pariah in certain zip codes. We need more women to choose domestic extremism, to become more domestic, in other words. Becoming a domestic extremist is so simple that you can start today. All you have to do is to choose to live again in a way that within recent memory was considered normal. Never forget this truth. We didn't become the extremists. They did. And if you choose to remain child-free because, you know, kids pollute the planet and keep you from going to the Taylor Swift concert, that's okay with me. To paraphrase Napoleon, never interrupt a cat owner when she is making a mistake. Leave the homemaking to us. While they're demanding gender equity, TikToking about how great it is to be 29 without any commitments, and complaining that marriage is indentured servitude, we'll be making babies, raising responsible adults, and dreaming of all the people who will call us grandma one day. Be fruitful, husbands and wives, and multiply. That's how we win. I'm Peachy Keenan, author of Domestic Extremist for Prager University.
All right, there you have it, PragerU.com. Again, this is another real time-tested five-minute video. I normally don't play that much from other people. I usually play sound bites or this and that, but I usually don't play that much. But I feel like Dennis and Peachy Keenan and some of these people are really on to what's fundamentally the solution to the problems we face in America. And when people are making New Year's resolutions and trying to better their lives, and we're going to kick off 2024 and do it right, Dr. Bradley, I think that we need to really double down on the God-ordained traditional family and say that fundamentally in our society is the key to the exercise. Having women be real women and men be real men, and have those two stand side by side under the direction of God Almighty. It's like a triangle, you know, the man and the woman come together under God and learn to live as one and learn to love one another and their attributes and their talents and their strengths and weaknesses are kind of paired perfectly in a way that really creates something to behold. It is God's ordained pattern. And I think Peachy nails this one, Doctor.
You know, I agree. I mean, I'm just absolutely appalled. I mean, we both live in Utah, and it's supposed to be, you know, the central red state, and it's supposed, I mean, it's not. It's absolutely probably the most corrupt state, maybe second or third state in politically in the nation. It's an idea of this centralization of the true traditional family has strayed so far. Church leaders have, work as much as you want, be a mom too, and all this. You know, you can't do that, and there's a lot of failure points along those things. And it's a tragic, tragic thing. Utah is not what a lot of people think it is. But I'll tell you, I was traveling cross country alone, I was in the Midwest on a Sunday morning, and I was driving a long ways. I had several hundred miles to go and everything like that, and I started really early in the morning, and you know, you try and keep the boredom down. And so I started listening to radio. And a Sunday morning, holy cow, in the Midwest, I mean, what can you listen to on the radio?
It's called preacher radio, buddy. You just picked the preacher.
I'm here to tell you, baby. I started listening to some Christian radio stuff. And, you know, I'd go in and out of footprints of the signal of radios. You know, you travel far enough, you lose the signal, you find another one and everything. I was absolutely not just astounded. I was overjoyed at what I was hearing in that Midwestern America thing. See, you hear so much nonsense from the left bank and the right bank of this nation, you know, the coasts, if you will, about what America is really about. That's not, you know, the New York view, the California view, that's not America. It's just not. And they're trying to spread their drivel across the whole nation and make everybody feel like everybody's got to be this way, you know, with these made-up sexual status things and all that kind of stuff. But in the Midwest, on that Sunday morning, as I traveled, I thought, my goodness, there is hope for America. I heard things like this Peachy Keeney, whatever her name is, woman. I mean, it was so wonderful to hear people that were committed to their families, that loved their families. They took great joy in them. People, I mean, some of it was talk radio because, you know, you have different formats you go through. And you hear people that are in there calling in, you know, how they had these two career paths and everybody was making big bucks and they had all the accoutrements of wealth and all this kind of stuff. And they decided, you know what, we've got something more precious at home, and it's us and it's our children. And so the mother became the mother, and the father the provider and the protector. And they gave up their two fancy BMW-type cars, and they went with a second kind of used type of car, that one single car, the other one they got rid of. I mean, and they focused, they homeschooled their kids. All of these kind of things, it was a gathering place. And it was, to me, it was so refreshing. I never hear that on Utah radio. I don't. It just doesn't happen. It's the double career, highfalutin, get your education, which is meaning get really, really, really big in debt. You know, I watch some of these kids that, you know, before they get married, they've incurred so much debt, and then they bring it both together. It's just crushing for the rest of their life, for a career that has only prepared them to be woke. And they don't really have any job skills they bring to life. I mean, it's astounding to me. Anyway, I'm getting far afield. But returning to the traditions is important. And
you're not far afield in the sense that we've got to decide. It's one thing to say, hey, a woman has to work to help provide the necessities, and I think society is trying to make it that way with our out-of-control taxes. I think this is done on purpose. Just get the people tied up and on this treadmill or on this whatever hamster wheel, whatever you want to call it, to try to derail them from what's most important. I think there's truth to that. And I think sometimes it does take two family income or two income families to make sense of things. But it's also you can pick what you choose to do. You know, my wife and I both work, but we both work from home. And so we were there to raise our children. We homeschooled them till high school age, a lot of them, or middle school age and this kind of stuff. And we taught them. But we were both home at the crossroads when they'd come home or when they'd leave and when they'd et cetera. And we never put them in a government schools, never, ever, not one, not once. And we've got eight children. But I bring this up to say sometimes necessity requires, you know, difficult times. You read in the 1800s or something like that where a man had to leave his family and go work on the railroad or go work somewhere else to make a living. Sometimes adaptation is required, but we need to keep priorities in line. We need to keep understand that, look, you cannot ignore a spouse. You cannot ignore children. You cannot ignore those family or oriented responsibilities or your home life. You can't give that no time and expect it to go well. Okay, time is key. Doesn't matter if you have a big house or a little house. Doesn't matter how nice the oven is or whether you have a, you know, two ovens that can run simultaneously or whatever. You don't need all the modern everything. But what you need to do is give your family, give your life, give your all the things that matter to you. I say God, family, country. You need to give that time. And you need to make time for those things. And so to me, I want to kind of end with on this hour, this New Year's resolution of decide to be very careful with your time. I know it's kind of a joke that everybody's got 24/7, but, you know, your time goes away. And it's something that you can never get back. And if you put time into things that matter, the dividends, the payoffs, the returns, the ROI or, you know, return on investment or whatever you want to call it, is tremendous. And I'm not necessarily talking about financial, really. I'm talking about greater things. And so time is really key here in what this peachy lady explained and what Dennis Prager both explains. Giving someone your time and attention is a great gift indeed, doctor. Why don't you respond to that? Because I think time relates here big time. Pardon the pun.
Yeah, well, it's a really broad subject. And honestly, we maybe ought to continue. And I don't know what you got planned for the next hour, but the fact of the matter is, this applies not just to families but to society. It applies to what really matters and understanding it. And a thing comes to mind that we'll probably won't have time. Well, I'll just mention it here. I knew a fellow quite well that served in World War II and was in the Philippines campaign and went through a bunch of nonsense. And we used to get together and we'd swap stories, you know, and some of them were even true, I'm sure, where we'd both tell some of our experiences together, and it was just him and me. And you know, phenomenal things that he had experienced that made him what he was. He was an old farmer guy. Nobody really paid much attention. But I asked him one day, have you told your kids this? Have you told your kids this? He said, oh, no, they're not interested.
All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. I want to stop you this hour because what I want to do is tease the topic. And I want to come back right next hour, and I want to continue where we left off, but reintroduce the topic. I got a whole lot more along these lines, ladies and gentlemen. This is the New Year's Day broadcast 2024 for Liberty Roundtable Live, and we are quadrupling down on God, family, and country as we protect life, liberty, and property and stand for the sacred cause to which we're heavily engaged. Every day, 24/7, we eat and sleep and focus on the sacred cause of liberty. Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com. Check out his collegiate series to preserve the nation. I am Sam Bushman. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic.
Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 1st in the year of our Lord, 2024. You gotta love it, ladies and gentlemen. And we are live for New Year's Day. Why? Because we believe that you are our radio family. I believe in the God-ordained traditional family, a mom and a dad and children and all that. But I also agree with the extended family. We're the family of God. Yeah, that's right. All of us are God's children, and we should behave like it. We should be kind to one another and treat each other like it. And if we have disagreements, we should, with patience and kindness and long-suffering and love and respect and dignity, try to influence people to our way of thinking. But your parents don't deserve this, is what Dennis Prager talked about last hour about this pandemic or epidemic, whatever you want to call it, where we literally have children deserting their parents and denying them access to the grandchildren and creating this big rift in the fundamental family. It is disaster and getting worse. We also talked about this survey. 3 out of 5 Americans are absolutely lonely, and it's getting worse. NPR claims they're shocked. I don't see why they're shocked. The things we're doing in society are fomenting this very reality that we face now. Everything that you do has consequences. You can make your choices, but you can't. You can choose what you want, but what you can't choose is the consequences of your choice, right? We need to understand that. A powerful earthquake hit Japan, triggering tsunami warnings. Our prayers are with those folks. You're going to have more and more calamities as we ignore the commandments of God Almighty. We talked about the Windwalker film, 1981, a Western film. We talked about wife, mother, extremist. Her name is Peachy Keenan, believe it or not, and she was on Dennis Prager and talked about she wants to be a domestic extremist. Really, she just wants to be normal. She's highlighting that in today's vernacular, you would call them domestic extremists. That's a woman who wants to be true to her husband, have a single man, a woman who believes that, you know what, a family is a worthy expenditure of time, that children are a sacred opportunity and obligation, and we should take delight in these things. And so she challenges the official narrative that really lets you wind up alone and angry if you stand with traditional society. We were talking about how important it is to get slices of time with one another. Time is one of the greatest things you can give someone. And in little snippets of time, you can make so much difference in a person's life. And I was mentioning how I would have these interactions with my grandmother. And they were small interactions, but I learned a ton from her. I gained tremendous respect from her. And I felt love and appreciation, even when sometimes I felt like my parents didn't make sense. Sometimes my grandma would make sense out of it for me. And I might have even walked away from the conversation thinking grandma's wrong too. But very shortly coming to the knowledge of, you know what, there's more ways to think about this than my way. And it doesn't mean the highway. And I learned so much from those interactions. And in society now with the COVID and everything else, we are literally isolating everyone, one from another, and it's got to stop. So Dr. Bradley was telling us a story about an old war buddy of his in World War II, or I guess who went through World War II, and they would have these chats, and they would talk about all kinds of things that happened in their lives and what they went through and everything else and swapping stories and it's kind of like what good old boys do, but there's a moral to the story, Doctor.
Well, this in the process of this swapping stories, and again, there's another one comes to mind, and we might be able to dovetail it in, that's family related too. But but in this particular case, I mean, life was pretty gritty in this setting in the Philippines, there were some life changing experiences. And so one day I said to him, I said, Vern, have you told your kids these things, your grandkids? He said, oh, no, they're not interested in this. I said, no, I really believe they would be. I says, someday, somewhere, there's going to be a grandchild or a great-grandchild that's going to say, what made grandpa what he's like, you know? And maybe he only had a few interactions before Grandpa died, you know. But he said, no, I'm okay. I'm not going to. He said, no, write them down. You got to write them down. Make recordings. Do whatever you can. If you feel like you don't have writing skills, just tell the stories. But the perception was that his family just didn't care. And that was tragic. And kind of dovetailing that into an uncle of mine. Now, I never knew him before World War II at all.
Right. Before you go on to your uncle, though, I want to just kind of say this. And they might not care at the time. This is kind of the real interesting thing about time. They might not care at the time, but someday they may care. And there may be someone down the line, whether it be a family member, a distant relative, or maybe somebody outside of the family, that can take from those pages of wisdom, from those well-lived experiences, and apply them in meaningful ways. So I didn't know one of my grandpas, but I've read about him in books and journals and references to him by my dad and by others and stuff, to where, you know, this matters. This has tremendous value. What they want to do, what the communists, what the godless people want to do, is divorce you from everything that can give you purpose and meaning in your life. They want to divorce you from everything that can give you stability and safety and protection. And, okay, because that's the only way then they can conquer. If we dovetail our God, family, and our country experiences together, you know, about how our founding fathers gave us a unique form of government like no other, out of the 6,000-year history of the world, Christian-based time frame, you know, you've got this Christian viewpoint. Okay, this is unique among nations. This God is more important than government viewpoint is unique in the world. And it's important that we don't take that for granted, that we understand. When it comes to the family, these treasured stories of experiences and, you know, who was this person and that person, these are so critical to preserve. And so for 2024, if you make a New Year's resolution, why not be one to document your history? Either learn about your historical progenitors, those who have gone before you, or write your own, or some of both, or whatever. There's a lot of ways to get that done, but it is rich, and it brings people together. And it, okay, the communists would love nothing more than to divorce us from everything we hold dear. And in the ashes of having nothing, they want a godless despair to take over. I believe the only time there's despair is when there's not hope. And despair comes from sin. Hope comes from trust and faith in God and trying to do what God wants. Hope and despair are opposites. Okay, just like truth and error are opposites. Anyway, I don't mean to digress from your uncle, but I want to kind of say we really need to understand these things. They matter. And even though you don't think they matter, they will matter to someone someday. Mark my words. And when they do, they can change lives for the better. They can give someone hope and purpose and encouragement and all these different things that, you know what, it was bad in World War II. It was bad in the Philippines, and it may be bad in America, but you know what? They made it through. They were true to the cause, true to their themselves, to their God, to their those around them, and we can be the same is the takeaway. And now we dovetail to your uncle, Doctor.
Okay, and honestly, don't let me forget to see what we're doing with our educational system after I get done talking about my uncle for just a moment. I didn't know him before World War II, but by all accounts, he was a really kind of a happy-go-lucky prankster. He was just one of those kids that was a live wire. World War II changed him. World War II, you know, nobody really knew about PTSD in those days, and nobody really thought it was an issue. You get over it, you move ahead, and kind of suck it up and do it, you know. But he came back broken. I mean, literally broken. I mean, I always say he died in 1943, but didn't know it until 1963 when he passed from mortality. But he was, he self-medicated with alcohol, and that further destroyed, you know, his family and everything else like that, his divorces, his kids estranged. And he was a broken man with his health that was horrid. And anyway, I used to sit on the lawn in the lawn chairs and talk to him. And I'm pretty confident he told me things he'd never told anybody else. But, you know, he'd smoke his non-filtered cigarettes down to the butt and light the next one with the do it. I mean, he had all sorts of behavior that was just destroying him. And to me, it was one of those things where there were so many lessons to be learned. And as a kid, I remember just listening. And that may sound kind of out of character for a lot of people that listen to us on the radio program. I just talk a mile a minute. But just listening and knowing what he had gone through and giving him a vent, you know, it was one of those things that I don't know if it did any good, but he died in 1963, December, actually. But family kind of left him behind in a way. And he had no real contact. And I don't know as I felt a duty or just as drawn to hear. I don't know. But at any rate, maybe we need to do a little more listening. But getting to what you were saying just before I conveyed that thought, how we lose our heritage. There is a strong movement afoot to not teach any American history prior to 1900. And so we would lose completely the understanding that brought about, you know, the Civil War that should have never happened. The ideas of mercantilism and the Whig movement and the ideas of the dynamic character of America, the horrific things we did to the Native Americans, the founding era, all that would be lost. And for there was a period, I haven't done it so much lately, but there was a period some time ago in my life when I did reviews of new history books that were being put out for high school students. And I was absolutely appalled. I mean, this was a couple decades ago that I quit doing this, but I was absolutely appalled at the lack of quality, the lack of continuity of understanding that was in these U.S. history books. There were books that did not even mention the name of George Washington, except erroneously in the Whiskey Rebellion, or Thomas Jefferson, not one mention at all about the principal author of the Declaration of Independence. They are putting these things down the memory hole, and there's a reason for that.
And so they're replacing them, too. Know. Thomas Jefferson tied to Sally Hemings and these lies about who he was and everything. Okay, so they're making up falsehood narratives to replace any honor, any dignity, any integrity these people had in history, our founding fathers, which I hold them dear, even though they weren't perfect. I agree they didn't have perfect lives. I agree with that. They're human, too. But they were wonderful people that brought some real unique changes, needed changes to the world. Regarding the sacred cause of liberty, what they want to do, though, is they want to assassinate all their characters in historicals, or in the historical realm, where none of those people have any value. They were just a bunch of charlatans and thugs and evil, and you know, I mean, all they did was rape their slaves, and you know, that's what they kind of want the narrative to be. It's completely false, absolutely dishonest. Am I defending these people as perfect? No, I'm not. But I'm also saying we cannot look at history through that. I'm gonna use the term from a country song. You cannot look through whiskey glasses of deception. Okay, you got to look at things as reality, as things as they really are, historically as things as they really were. We need to do our very best to make sure we don't have on these whiskey glasses that would just make everything foggy and muddy and confused and distorted in ways that. All that does is bring harm to everything we hold dear. Their goal is intentional, divorcing us from all of those things that can bring us hope, that can bring us courage, Doctor. And I think it's really a godless versus godly battle, discussion, narrative. It's that clear. In 2024, we need clarity on these things. And it is that clear of a battle. And that's where the lines are being drawn, Doctor.
Well, indeed they are, and they come to, there's an idea kind of cogitating in my mind that we have a sacred honor to the coming generations to be able to carry forth an understanding of the good, the bad, and the ugly of what we're going on. Just what comes to mind, it'll just take a couple of minutes. So maybe if it's okay with you, maybe you got some other ideas, but it came to mind when you were talking the farewell address that, General MacArthur, stated at West Point, where he went there and talked to the graduates. And again, this happened, as Vietnam was going to ramp up.
Yeah, and I'm going to say, just imagine if this could be. Just imagine if it was allowed for something like this to be given today. Think about it in those terms.
Yeah, critical race theory, Bravo Sierra, all of this stuff that's splitting us and dividing us. I mean, if we got just a few minutes, I don't want to have anything. But,
no, let's
but
do it. But think about if it could have been given today. It kind of reminds me a little bit about, you know, Noah and the Ark and stuff like that. And what if Noah tried to build the Ark today? He'd be all caught up in red tape and regulation and county and zoning laws. And there's big jokes about that. If, you know, poor Noah's just sitting there saying, Lord, I can't build the ship because I... You know, and so we're not going to be able to prepare for the flood because government's too belligerent. There's a joke about that in our day, but I kind of give that parallel to what if this speech from years ago was given today? Put that in the context as you deliver this, Doctor.
It was May of 62, and to understand, you got to listen. I'm not going to do the whole talk. I mean, obviously, but I've found some little snippets that I think are probably of value. But you'll understand if you listen to the end that they're not warmongers. This is not a military-industrial complex speech. It is a speech of those that stand in the gap. And we don't have that anymore. We intervene all over the world. We've got bigger problems than we can shake a stick at because of our military adventurism. But just maybe just for a few minutes. Okay. Here's his words, and I don't do it justice, but duty, honor, country. Those three hallowed words reverently dictate what you ought to be, what you can be, what you will be. They are your rallying point to build courage when courage seems to fail, to gain faith when there seems to be little cause for faith, to create hope when hope becomes forlorn. In 20 campaigns on 100 battlefields around 1,000 campfires, I have witnessed that enduring fortitude, that patriotic self-abnegation, that invincible determination that have carved his statue in the hearts of his people. From one end of the world to the other, he has drained deep the chalice of courage. He's speaking to the warrior that stood in the gap. Okay, when you talk about he. In memory's eye, I could see those staggering columns of the First World War bending under soggy packs, on many weary march, from dripping dusk to drizzling dawn, slogging ankle-deep through a mire of shell-pocked roads, to form grimly for the attack, blue-lipped, covered with sludge and mud, chilled by the wind and rain, driving home to their objective, and for many, to the judgment seat of God. I do not know the dignity of their birth, but I do know the glory of their death. They died unquestioning, uncomplaining, with faith in their hearts, and on their lips the hope that we would go on to victory, always for them, duty, honor, country, always their blood and sweat and tears as they saw the way and the light. Skipping ahead now, there isn't time, but their resolute and determined defense, their swift and sure attack, their indomitable purpose, their complete and decisive victory, always through the bloody haze of their last reverberating shot, the vision of gaunt, ghastly men reverently following your password of duty, honor, and country. The code which those words perpetrate embraces the highest moral laws and will stand the test of any ethics or philosophies ever promulgated for the uplift of mankind. Its requirements are for the things that are right. Its restraints are from the things that are wrong. No physical courage and no brute instinct can take the place of the divine help which alone can sustain him. We're just about done, I know. There is no substitute for victory, that if you lose, the nation will be destroyed, that the very obsession of your public service must be duty, honor, country. Your guidepost stands out at like a tenfold beacon in the night, duty, honor, country. The long gray line has never failed us. That's, by the way, referring to the gray uniforms of West Point. Were you to do so, a million ghosts in olive drab and khaki brown and blue and gray, again a reference back to the Civil War, would raise from their white crosses, thundering those magic words, duty, honor, country. Okay, I'm done with that. The the self-abnegation. I mean, these we have fallen so far. I mean, 1962 was on the cusp of Vietnam, okay? And what we've done since then is we have stuck our noses into every single stinking scrape that happened across the world. And guys like Lindsey Graham, they never saw a scrape around the world. They didn't just ache to get some Marines killed in. And you've probably heard his public statements about it. We ought to go bomb Iran with their oil fields and their military bases. I mean, these are complete imbecilic statements by people that are in the most senior leadership of this country. They serve the military-industrial complex. They serve the deep state. They serve the greater tyranny that will come as we lose the principles this nation was founded on. And we don't have people learning these principles anymore. We have completely, through dereliction of duty, failed to teach these in our schools. That's why you get your kids out of the public indoctrination centers. Bring them home. Teach them. Love them. Build the family unit and build the heritage that we had. Understand great mistakes were made and continue to be made. In fact, almost everything we do right now is a mistake. If not a mistake, it's purposely destructive of the nation. But honestly, Sam, people, if they don't understand where we've been, they can't understand where we're going. And we're going to be on the wrong track. I guarantee that we are failing as a nation. And nations as great as they have been have failed in the past. The Roman Empire, nobody thought could drift away, did. Egypt did. Babylonians did. The Persian Empire did. The Greek Empire. The British Empire. I mean, you name any empire that has lost its way, it has fallen. Some of these were never founded on too good a status anyway. But we're in a real crossroads. And as you talk about New Year's, we ought to talk about how we might get back on the right track this year.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am telling you, this broadcast is designed to focus on what it's going to take to get us on the right track for 2024. I'm convinced that you need to start with the Ten Commandments. You need to turn to God, not government. I'm convinced that the battle lines are drawn between the godless and the godly. Communism is godless and is Satan's religion. And socialism and any other of these kind of words we use to soften the blow, all those roads lead to the same place. This is an epic battle. It is a continuation of the war in heaven on the earth today. And in 2024, it's important that we learn those battle lines, that we spend our time, our talents, our effort, all that we have to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property, and to do so in a way that can help people really understand. And I think that they really want to attack God in every way. They want to attack the family in every way. They want to attack our country and our origins in every way possible. And they want to obliterate that. I know I've repeated this many times, but I really want to make this abundantly clear. The battle lines are drawn between godless versus godly, Dr. Bradley. Isn't it that simple of a discussion?
Indeed, it is. It always has been. I mean, whose side are you on? You talk about if God be God, let's quit dilly-dallying around and wondering about it. Let's move forward. I mean, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. I mean, the old adage from Joshua. I mean, you look all through history. There are crossroads, and every one of us have crossroads in our own lives.
And you cannot serve two masters, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, you can let the wheat grow at the tares for a while, but at some point it's going to become abundantly clear. My prediction for 2024 is these lines that we speak of are going to become more and more self-evident. Hang tight. Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, and yours truly on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Corey Myers. The tsunami warnings that were issued after a 7.5 magnitude earthquake shook Japan have been scaled back. Residents in west central Japan were seeking higher ground after that quake triggered tsunami warnings. There have been strong aftershocks, and rescue teams are trying to search for survivors in the rubble of homes and buildings. About 33,000 people right now are without power, and some areas have giant cracks in roadways and parts of the earth that makes it very difficult to get to hospitals. There's a much anticipated list of names set to be revealed in the new year.
The release, ordered by a federal judge in New York, could shed more light on who worked with or profited from prolific billionaire and alleged sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein was found dead of suspected suicide in a jail cell in 2019. Thus far, since details of Epstein's alleged crimes have come to light, the list of 180 names has remained mostly redacted and out of the public eye. U.S. District Judge Loretta Preska issued a 51-page order approving the release last month. I'm Ryan Daniels.
Ukrainians marking the new year with a day of mourning in Kyiv. The death toll has risen from Russia's latest and largest aerial barrage of the war. There are now at least 52 deaths confirmed since Russia sent 150 cruise missiles and attack drones at targets across Ukraine on Friday. Ukraine did respond on Saturday, hitting a Russian border town with an aerial bombardment and killing an estimated 20 Russian civilians. A much anticipated Ukrainian counteroffensive in late spring and summer 2023 has mostly stalled, and front lines appear as though they may remain static throughout the coming winter. This is USA News.
I'd like to introduce you to our new sponsor, Get the Tea. Get the Tea carries all natural, non-GMO organic teas and supplements made in the USA. Get the Tea's ingredients are the purest available. My favorite is Life Change Tea. Life Change Tea is a gentle daily cleanse containing 12 herbs that, when combined, really keep things moving. I drink it every day, and my energy has never been better. I'm feeling great. Life Change Tea comes in three delicious flavors, natural, peppermint, and pomegranate. It's an easy and delicious way to keep your digestion on track. And for those on the go, try D365. D365 is Life Change Tea in a capsule. Drink the tea or take D365 capsules and keep your digestion running smoothly. Go to GetTheTea.com and enter discount code USA to get 10% off any size order. That's GetTheTea.com, discount code USA for 10% off your order.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking, because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it, because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Thank you.
We are indeed live New Year's Day, ladies and gentlemen. It's Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com. Check out his incredible curriculum to preserve the nation. It's a DVD set series with lectures and education. It's a book, a workbook, an educational book. There's chapters on literally everything under the sun. The whole goal is to preserve the nation. We declare this nation shall endure, ladies and gentlemen. And I know it doesn't seem pleasant, and I know it seems like the fat lady's already sung, but that's a lie that the communists want you to believe as well, that you cannot, must not fall for. Fundamental battle lines are drawn, the godless versus the godly. And I predict in 2024, you'll see more and more of this evidence, ladies and gentlemen. And one of the things that a lot of people are afraid to talk about is this gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, you know, LGBTQ plus stuff. A lot of people are afraid to discuss it. I'm not. I think God's very clear. We need to love those around us, even when they make choices that are against God's laws. But we need to separate the sin from the sinner. And just because we believe that the gay and lesbian and bisexual, transgender, all these lifestyles are sins, it doesn't mean that we hate others or that we're bigots. That's the lie that they tell you. You can have these views because God set forth this reality, these fundamental truths. It doesn't mean that you're a bigot or a hater or that you're evil or that you're a phobe of some kind, that you've got some phobia, or okay, that's just the way they mock you, label you, ridicule you, shoehorn you, whatever word you want to use, into a deceptive viewpoint. Well, I bring this up because if there's one, there's two things that I think are destroying America more than almost any other. Number one is this morality religions issue. You know, people now don't have morality, don't have religion in their lives. And so they're striking at the heart of the very family. But the battle lines are drawn, and one of the ways they can prevent the family from continuing is with this gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender lifestyle. And then what they do is if you disagree with a kid that goes gay or that whatever, then, hey, just jettison those parents. Get rid of them. Don't need them in your life. They're negative. They're toxic. They're horrible. They're bigots. And they fractionalize all of us over this. But there's some statistics that are startling that I really want to bring up that relates directly to this. I believe the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender agenda is one of the greatest threats to the human family ever devised by man. It's evil and it's godless. Listen carefully. They say the data's in, and they then highlight in this new study the gayest states in America. And they say young adults, 18 to 24, are really doubling down in the gay, lesbian agenda, lifestyle, whatever you want to call it. The Daily Caller writes this piece. And the District of Columbia, that's Washington, D.C., are you surprised, has the highest percentage of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and I don't know if it's queer or questioning, but either way, according to a UCLA study released in December, Washington, D.C., 18 to 24-year-olds are the biggest group. In the nation's capital, 14.3% of the population claim to be part of that community, meaning the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community. Think about that. 14.3%. The number's huge. Now, there's a bunch of states, by the way, that are close on its heels in a way. The top states, Oregon, Delaware, Vermont, New Hampshire, are topping 7% of their populations identifying as LGBTQ as well. The study is by the Williams Institute at the University of California in Los Angeles, I guess, or whatever. Think about those numbers. That's startling, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? Now, they say the total in America is 13.9 million, roughly 5% of the population. Okay, this has not always been true, but the numbers are ticking up because the mainstream press promotes this. An estimated 1.55 million people in California, they say that's the largest group or the largest or the state that has the largest population. They say 35.9% of this population, gay, lesbian, bisexual, comes from the South, which includes Texas and Florida and reaches all the way up to Maryland and Delaware. Then they go on to how many are in the West, all over the place. young adults from 18 to 24 years old are the most likely to identify with 15.2%, ages 25 to 34, 9%. So you can see generationally, as we divide families, the numbers go up as more and more and more people end up absolutely alone. Dr. Bradley, these statistics are startling, but I believe the key to this is to call it what it is. It's a godless agenda designed to destroy families and to destroy God's plan of procreation. In other words, his plan for the next generations to come to earth. His plans for the human race are being absolutely assaulted by this agenda, which is growing. The more we leave religion and morality, and the more we embrace this, in my opinion, godless doctrine, that the gay and lesbian lifestyle, it's of no harm. They don't mean any harm to you at all. They were born this way, and you just need to love them and be kind and accept them. And no, they will create the very undoing of everything we hold dear by their lifestyles and by their very against God or godless natures if we allow it to occur. Now, I know I'm going to be just slaughtered for being a bigot and a hater and so evil. It's beyond imagination. But look, somebody's got to have a clear voice on this, doctor. Somebody's got to stand tall. Might as well be me.
I would say so. It's interesting. There are so many facets of this. And because I don't know, I'm going to mention something just first that I could not document back up, but I just have to ask the question. I just have to ask, is there something going on in all of these injections that were being forced upon us? That it might, I mean, I know they mix baby, aborted baby tissue in it stuff. Maybe there's stuff that's exacerbating and accelerating this problem. And I couldn't scientifically say that. I believe it needs to be, researched heavily. But there's many, many more things that are facilitating this. The media certainly is playing up to that. Almost everything Disney does anymore has some kind of spin and twist on it that's indoctrinating the kids. And even this latest, big movie, I don't know what it is, about Barbie. I mean, it undermines the family, but so many of these made-up sexual status things are in an undertow from Disney, so their media systems are doing it. But the educational system is, we've mentioned before, the idea that our education system is a humanist, godless philosophy that has become the religion of the nation. It's become the humanist manifestos have become the de facto lesson plan. I'm just going to quote a little statement. I know I bring in things all the time that are maybe, this is not very long, but this is, again, this is out of the humanist manifesto. This is what they're using to set the lesson plans throughout American schools. So here's what it says. In the area of sexuality, we believe that intolerant attitudes, often cultivated by orthodox religions and puritanical cultures, unduly repress sexual conduct. The right to birth control, abortion, divorce should be recognized. Neither do we wish to prohibit, by law or social sanction, sexual behavior between consenting adults. The many varieties of sexual exploration should not in themselves be considered evil. A civilized society should be a tolerant one. Individuals should be permitted to express their sexual proclivities and pursue their lifestyles as they desire. Moral education for children and adults is an important way of developing awareness and sexual maturity. So all of these are just loaded terms that we hear constantly that are being foisted upon the children. And this idea of proclivities and lifestyles, it's being taught openly, continually in our education system. Now,
our tax dollars are funding it. So to those of us who, look, I have people that I know that are gay and people that have transgendered and things like this. And I do think that we need to be kind to them. We need to realize they are God's children. We need to be gentle and kind about it. But that doesn't mean that we need to create a dumpster fire out of our beliefs. Okay, I have every right to believe that God makes the rules. He's the creator. He's the author. And so when he says there's male and female, and there's a binary, there's two genders, I believe God. And when the science documents that same reality, I follow the science, to mock their term a little bit, but to be true about it. Okay, this isn't something that we can just make up on a whim. This is not something that I'm at liberty to redefine or to change. This is truth. Males are males, females are females. And the only way for the human race to perpetuate, to continue, is through this sacred, procreative blessing that God gave man and woman. One man, one woman, with fidelity to one another, to stand together and face God together and be accountable for their actions and to be responsible for the generations that come after. Okay, these are fundamental responsibilities that we cannot duck, we cannot avoid, and we cannot leave this culture war discussion because it's too hot, or I don't want to be a bigot, or man, I don't want, okay, you can love others, you can be kind to others, but you don't need to dumpster fire your own beliefs or the truth on those altars. To be kind and gentle and loving to someone, telling them the truth is actually the most loving thing you can do. That doesn't mean that you need to persecute them or be hostile or mean or evil or anything like that. But it does mean the best thing I can do for them is point true north. And on that, stand firmly. And then be as kind and gentle, as loving as I can be. But I can be firm in this and let the labels fly. Because I say the truth shall set us free, doctor.
You know, going back to the Humanist Manifesto just very briefly, the Humanist Manifesto 2, you know, this sounds like it's pretty freedom-minded. You know, here's the quotation. The state should encourage maximum freedom for different moral, political, religious, and social values in society. But what are those ones that they're promoting? Those ones that they're promoting take off all of the gates, the boundaries, the things that society has found over the years allows society to continue to exist. You know, government is really there to prevent force, fraud, and debauchery. And if the debauchery that's being allowed, what was it, DeWine? Wasn't it Ohio that just said, oh no, we're not going to prevent little children from being emasculated and sterilized surgically. We don't have any right to interfere with that. It's like Bravo Sierra. Okay, so you don't have any right to prevent murder, rape, pillage, plunder. Yeah, you do. That's debauchery is what's happening. But there, we've bought into this. And you look back at the Hugh Hefners of the world and the Larry Flints of the world that decades ago began the undermining of the whole tradition of family. And you say, oh, well, a woman's right to choose. That came out of a man saying, I don't want to take responsibility for the child I have conceived. And so now we're going to say, for a woman to be free, we have to make sure she can kill the baby. No, this was men saying, you really don't want to have to take this child because that'll mean I have responsibilities. Everything that's happening is unraveling this at the very core. And so I guess I say, we're under assault at every level, and we need to double down on our commitment to the traditions of God that are found, you know, in our biblically based society, which was the basis of the establishment of this nation. So, you know, we've got to turn our hearts back to God. I think that's what your message is, Sam.
Yes, it is. And my message also is, don't be deceived by this kind of a idea that, it, you know what, if one thing is the case, then the other's the case. So if Sam doesn't back and support and promote the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, whatever lifestyle, that Sam is somehow an evil, uncaring, hateful, bigot, you know, homophobe or whatever. No, okay, that's a lie. I can stand with God on a point and be true to that, and still be a very kind, gentle, loving person. And I can respect the choices of others. They have the choice to choose that lifestyle. But I also have the choice to politely say that I believe it's wrong and it will lead to disaster in society. Okay, 13 point whatever million people now are gay. That's what, basically 5% of the population. That number is rising quickly. And generationally speaking, it's way beyond that. And that's why, you know, at this at the start of the broadcast, we started talking about grandma and grandpa and mom and dad and these multi-generations, because you see the change. Okay? Now, I'm not for the persecution of gay and lesbian people by any means. And I think if they are denied their rights as individuals, that's wrong. We all have the same rights. There's no such thing as gay rights, ladies and gentlemen. That is a lie. Rights are given by God, not by governments. And God gives us inalienable rights, all of us. And when we obey his laws, those rights are protected and can be protected. When we turn against God's will and God's laws, we lose that protection. That's what this is about. So if I refuse to discuss this topic, or if I am too soft on the topic and don't provide clarity, I become part of the problem, Dr. Bradley. I don't become part of the solution, because people are mixed up. People are confused. They think that they need to jettison their views to be loving and kind. And that's a lie. The most loving and kind person that I know is God Almighty. They're his children and he loves them. But he doesn't equivocate on these points, not one bit. We should do the same.
You know, again, so much of this goes back to what we've allowed to be an avalanche of misinformation in our education system, our media system. Our churches actually have even fostered this about the loving kind misconception. But you know, you look at this, how we teach our children. Man's reason is God. There's no divine God. We teach the anatomy and mechanics of reproduction. We teach alternative lifestyles. It's a euphemistic term. We teach solutions, euphemistic term, to unplanned pregnancies, meaning abortion. We teach socialistic democracy. We teach redistribution of wealth. We teach euthanasia and the right to die. We teach situational ethics. All of these things are what our children are being immersed in. And then we wonder why they go off track. And I've got to tell you, if your kid is being indoctrinated with this, you know, it's 7 hours a day, let's say, and then they do homework for several more hours, and mom and dad let them be entertained by their by some kind of device, an electronic device. Bring your kids home. Teach them your standard and your values. There's enough of the devil's advocate out there that you can counter it somehow. I mean, an hour a week or a month or whatever it is in Sunday school is not going to counter the humanistic school perspective and the entertainment media stuff. Recently, we had a granddaughter, a little girl that turned 2 years old, and my wife was looking for a present for this little girl and was in Walmart to get that present. You know, where do you go for a two-year-old's present? Anyway, and she said there were aisles of Barbie stuff. And I haven't seen the movie. I'm not going to see the movie. I absolutely will not. I refuse to. But everything I've heard about that, it's an attack on divine roles. And they start out with babies, little children, little girls, smashing their dolls. They're no longer going to have this role model of, I want to be a mom when I grow up. I mean, come on, people. We allow ourselves to be indoctrinated. Then we wonder when the kid goes off the track, oh, how did that happen? Well, everything's encouraging it. And if you don't take control of this in a, you know, a godly way, in a loving way, in a what would Jesus do kind of a way, it's going to continue, and you're going to be completely drowned out by the noise of the world. And alternative lifestyles are just one of those things. You know, if all of the celebrities in the world were to be looked at as icons or heroes or whatever, most of them are moral, spiritual derelicts. And they party hardy between rehab and unplanned pregnancies, for crying out loud. And it's just,
well, and they sadly end up with divorce after divorce after divorce or whatever like that. I mean, you know, they even when Taylor Swift gets a new boyfriend, they even start to write the song for her that'll be the breakup song to mock her and to get rich on the spoils of the relationship gone south. And there's people that have actually written songs jokingly saying, hey, here's the song coming up. This is how bad it's become. And we need to look towards godly people for our leaders, for our examples, for our role models. We need to look to God and those who follow him. This is not something that's just a theory. We must live in this in a day-to-day reality, Dr. Bradley. And that's why I bring this up. I know that the haters are just going to hate on me for this. And I'm not suggesting to be unkind to anyone. But I am suggesting if we can repent and return to these principles, we can be a blessed nation once again. We can be a blessed people, a delightsome people. We can have families. People won't feel so alone. People won't feel if they're elderly left, you know, to die. Or if they're young, they'll actually be welcomed to the world by God that gave them life and by the family that accepts and loves them. We can change these things if we teach proper principles. And some would say, Sam, it's too late, or Sam, your words are not enough, or whatever they want to say. My response is it's our obligation to highlight these realities every day and be consistent about it and spread the word of that there is hope, that there is a future, but it depends on our actions as individuals and as families. Doctor?
Okay. You know, we're at the end of another two-hour segment, and perhaps we can end with some positive affirmation kind of suggestions instead of saying, oh, ain't it awful. So I would say we must teach the hope of divine purpose and our origins. We've got to teach that. We've got to teach that morality that throughout all history has kept society functioning. That morality is not just there as a, oh, what are we going to do next? This has been from time in the beginning. We've got to teach chastity. Chastity truly matters. Virtue matters. Washington started his inauguration speech with talking about public and private morality and virtue. We've got to teach marital fidelity. It's got to be taught. And then from the government point of view, that we got to teach the United States Constitution in the tradition of the Founding Fathers. We've got to return to the baseline principles that allowed us to become this greatest, freest, strongest, most happy, most prosperous, most respected nation in the world. They're there. We know the back trail. So in short, we need to teach the ennobling, the uplifting, the educational process which established and sustained this nation that we've abandoned. And it's been abandoned for decades. I mean, John Dewey and his humanist manifestos came out beginning in the 1930s. They've become the de facto lesson plan. He's considered the father of modern education. And he's a Johnny-come-lately. These other things have been around thousands of years. They work. We know the path back. The path is well-marked if we'll just sit down and give consideration to it. And we can bring our families back together again. We can bring our nation back together again. We can be the light on the hill to the world. And we don't have to export war. We can export concepts of liberty, knowledge.
You want to know what the best news is, Doctor?
What's that?
We can start now, and it's something that we can do individually. It's something that we can do in families. It doesn't require a bunch of money. It does not require us to change the law. It does not require anything but an internal desire. A little bit of hope, a little bit of faith, a whole lot of commitment and trust in God Almighty, and the willingness to just stand. Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. 2 hours of what I believe to be solutions for America. Start with the Ten Commandments and the two great commandments. Love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor. Start with understanding that it's God, family, and country that are keys to success. The traditional God, family, and country. It is a battle between the godly and the godless. Let's be on the godly side, shall we? That's my prayer for 2024. Pro-life should be the key going into this election. Will you stand for life and stand with God or not? I pray for us all. LovingLiberty.net, FreedomsRisingSun.com, God save the Republic of the United States of America.